Praise the Lord. All right, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, God is good. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in his heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and his word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. Filled us with his Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting, and his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I have found in the grace that flows. righteousness. This is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. This is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. My voice, a song of praise, and my hands to you I raise. But more than just a song that my heart sings, more than all the praises that I bring, I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my I lift my voice, a song of praise, and my hands to you I raise. But more than just a song that my heart sings, more than all the praises that I bring, I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my offering. I could give you all. my prized possessions, all my houses and my lands, and everything I hold here in my hands. There is nothing that I owe. I could lay here at your feet. No greater sacrifice that I could bring. Give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my offering. This is my offering, and to give myself, this is my
I know he watches me.
His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oops, hold on. Let me start that one over. That's another one. Praise the Lord. All right. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we lift our hearts before You as a token of our love. Holy, 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 gracious Father, gracious Father. We're so blessed to be Your children, gracious Father. And we lift our heads before You as a token of our love. Gracious Father, gracious Father. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. We're so glad that You redeemed us, precious Jesus. And we lift our heads before You as a token of our love. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Come and fill our hearts anew, Holy Spirit. And we lift our voice before You as a token of our love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And we lift our hearts before You as a token of our love. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to do pick a hymn? Or?
Nah, not tonight. Okay. Let's get her down the road, man. Right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right. Well, what do we have in the area of praises? Good to see y'all tonight. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Amen, amen. We got some folks with us online, online people. Good to have you with us tonight. Thank y'all for being with us, supporting us and praying. Sending in your tithe and offering. That means a lot, man. Takes everybody to keep it going. Praises, testimonies. Anybody tonight? Anybody got anything? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. That's a good sign. Amen. Praise the Lord for Rosemary. Amen. Rosemary is the first saved person in your family. She brought the gospel to the house. Amen. Yeah. Amen, man. Praise the Lord for Rosemary. That's a good testimony. Amen. Other praises. Anybody got another praise testimony? Yeah, you had a good group. You had a good group, Ron. Praise the Lord for that, man. They looked attentive. Were they well behaved? Oh, amen. That's great. Very good. Four bags of popcorn. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Any other praises? Yes, ma'am. That's what I was wanting to know. I had heard she was going to get to see him. Oh, I bet she did. Bless her heart. Amen. And he's been moved to tear. So, okay. Okay, so he's not been moved to rehab. Okay, all right. So he's going to be moved to rehab probably this coming week. Oh, praise the Lord. And he takes a swallow test tomorrow? Something like that? Okay, very good. All right, any other praises? Yeah. Amen, man. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for the music. Good music. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Good music. Very good. All right, any other praises? But he got an encouraging word, a verse, passage, Bible story. Anybody? Okay. Brother Ron, you don't have any more numbers to God?
Not yet.
All right. Very good. All right. Prayer request. Continue to pray for Johnny Hyman. Continue to pray for Rosemary, Loopy's sister. Let's see here. Want to pray for Sandra's neighbor. Let's see here. 10/22, he was in a motorcycle accident. He has a collapsed lung. He has a fracture in his neck. C7 is the vertebrae that's fractured. He has, let's see here if I can remember. Sternum is broke. Ribs are broke on both sides. He's got multiple stitches on his face and in his elbow. And he has compromised his kidneys with this accident, and I'm sure with a broke rib. So they're trying to get his kidney function back to where it needs to be. So this is Sandra's neighbor. His name is Roger. Okay, so I want to pray for Roger tonight. And then Ronnie Holman, any update on Ronnie Holman's doctor visit? I want to continue to pray for Ronnie Holman's cancer as he goes through that, him and Nancy. And then Brother Paul McCormick, side effects from his chemo. So we want to be praying in prayer for Brother Paul. Good to see you tonight, Brother Paul. Amen. Yeah, good to have him. Any other prayer needs tonight? Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay. So pre-op tomorrow. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, amen, amen. So this is Kelsey, but her last name now is Kofer, Kelsey Kofer. Okay, so Kelsey Kofer and the Stanball family. And we're going to be doing a memorial service for them for Hoppy. We called him Hoppy. David Hopkins. Okay, so David Hopkins, his memorial is the 13th of November here in the sanctuary. He's going to be cremated, of course, probably already has, so won't be a body here or anything, just ashes, but we'll be doing that for the family on the 13th of November. That's a Saturday. All right, 10 a.m., Brother Jeremiah, hopefully you can be here. Amen? 10 a.m.? All right, very good. All right, other prayer needs? Yes, sir. Yeah, he passed away. Yeah. Yeah, last name again? Sean Farr. Yeah, Sean Farr family. He passed away. She said he was pretty overweight, had some diabetes issues or something. Amen. Passed away from the COVID. Oh, man. Big guy. And that was last week. Have they had the service yet? Don't know. Daughter's friend, went to school with. Right, amen. All right, so Sean Farr family passed away from COVID last week. So I want to pray for them. All right, Sean Farr family passed away from COVID last week. A friend of Renee, of Brother James's daughters. Renee, so one of her high school friends, Sean Farr. Yeah. 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 Right. Well, y'all pray. Amen. Yeah, Donna, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen, amen, man. What else? Yes, sir, John. That's sheriff's deputy, yeah. Sheriff's deputy. Oh. Pulled her out, pulled her down. Terry Boyd's injured. Terry Boyd, ankle. All right, pray for healing. All right, all right. Very good. What else? Yeah, Miss Bicky. Sharon Foot. All right, all right. Is that it? Yes, ma'am. Harrington? Currington. With a C or a K? Currington. Yes. That's for COVID. Got it. How old was he? Early 70s. Other health issues, yeah. Wow. Mercy. All right, what else? Anything else? All right, unspokens. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? All right, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for church family and for church friends, Lord. Most of all, we're thankful for our salvation. We just praise you tonight, Lord, for your goodness and grace towards us, all that you do for us, how you minister to us, how you encourage us along the way, Lord, with your word. You show us your will. You point us in the right direction, Lord. You help us when we stumble and we fail. You help us get it right and come back to square and get going with our discipleship. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray for those that wanted to be here tonight, Lord, that didn't make it. For whatever reason, they just didn't make it. We pray for those that are struggling with their health, folks that are struggling with their emotions, Lord, or just, they just don't feel well tonight. Father God, we pray that you might draw them back next Sunday evening for the trunk and treat. It's going to be a great time. Going to be a time of ministry, a time to get to meet some kids. And Lord, we just pray your blessing and your anointing on that next Sunday night, next Sunday p.m., as the devil uses it for meanness and to scare and to bring death and destruction. But Lord, we want to use that night to encourage and to share some light as these little kids and families come on this campus, drive through and get some candy before they head off to their next stop. Lord, as we lift up these praises to you, we're thankful for Rosemary doing better and getting over the COVID. Lord, we just pray now you get her over the double pneumonia. Johnny Hyman, Lord, we praise you that he has taken a step down from where he was. He's not in ICU, but he's in one lower level from there. And so, Lord, we're thankful for that and the fact that he gets to get ready to go to rehab. We're looking forward to that. Thankful that his His mother, Miss Socorro, got to visit him, Lord. We just continue to pray for his healing, but we lift that praise up to you tonight. Lord, we pray for Sandra's neighbor, Roger, who, Lord, this accident just a few days ago, Lord, we lift him up, pray for his healing, pray that these ribs would heal, these kidneys would come back online and function the way they're supposed to, Lord, and this vertebrae in his neck, God, it wouldn't cause any kind of paralysis or loss of feeling or movement in anywhere in his body. Father God, we just pray you touch him and bring healing to him. Lord, Ronnie Holman and Nancy, we lift them up to you, Lord, and we pray for this diagnosis that Ronnie has and how he is meeting with his oncologist and meeting with surgeons and trying to figure out the best procedure and way about to go about this cancer diagnosis. Lord, we just pray for healing for Ronnie, that, Lord, you would bring him and Nancy through this. And I know Ronnie would give you the testimony, would give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for healing his body. So, Lord, we continue to pray. Pray that you would heal Ronnie Holman. Be with Nancy as she cares for him. And, Lord, we just pray nothing else would come against their house at this time. We lift up Brother Paul to you tonight. Thankful that he's here with us. But, Lord, we continue to pray for him as he struggles and suffers with some of these side effects from the chemotherapy that he's got to take for his cancer, Lord, that's been removed from his body. And, Father God, we just pray you help him manage those symptoms. And, Lord, that the medicine they're giving him for this would help. And just see him through, Lord. We're praying that he's able to take all this medicine, if it be thy will, all this medicine this coming year for this this chemotherapy. Lord, we lift up Loopy's aunt to you, and we pray that you would allow Loopy just to have the words and that divine appointment coming and going from the pre-op visit down at the medical center, Lord. I just pray for Patricia's salvation. I pray that Lord, words of faith and words of truth would be spoken tomorrow. And, Lord, there would be a sense of peace and joy in the car. And perhaps, Lord, this would be the day, the hour that Patricia prays to receive Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. We do lift up the Stanball family and the loss of David Hopkins. And, Lord, we're praying that as we are able to minister to them as pastor and church, Lord, I pray that we're able to sow seeds of the gospel in the midst of that memorial service. We're thankful for David's life. We're thankful of his testimony and of his witness as a Christian. And Lord, just his stick-to-itiveness in the midst of his ALS, being faithful to the church all of his days. We're just thankful for his life and thankful for the impact that he's had on the Stanball family. We lift up the Sean Farr family and the loss of his life from COVID. Lord, we pray you comfort his wife, and be with his extended family, Lord, and help them as they go through this tremendous time of loss. And Lord, we lift up James's sister to you, Donna. We just pray you give her traveling mercies as she drives so many miles to do all the different things that she's attempting to do, checking on her and James's mom, and just keeping up with her grandkids and everything that she's got on her plate, Lord. We pray that you multiply her time and you give her safety in the midst of it. Lord, we pray for this sheriff's deputy, his memorial tomorrow at Champion Forest. And Lord, we just pray comfort for that family and, Lord, comfort for that wife and those young kids. And Lord, we just pray that you help that police community come together and honor his life, Lord. And we pray that in the midst of that, there might be somebody receive you as personal Savior and Lord out of this tremendous loss of life. We lift up Terry Boyd to you tonight. Pray for healing in her ankle, Lord, and pray that you just might bring that part of her body back together. Touch her, Lord, and just help her get back up on both feet. We lift up Miss Vicky to you tonight. We pray for her digestive issues, Lord. Be with her. Watch over her tonight. Sharon Heibarger, we pray for her upcoming foot surgery, Lord. Continue to heal that foot so it's ready for that surgery. We lift up the Dennis Currington family, Lord, from Oklahoma, who's also passed away from COVID. We pray for comfort and for peace and for help in time of trouble for that family as they go through this. And Lord, all the unspokens we lift up to you tonight, we're thankful that we can pray them in silence. And Lord, we know that you hear us and that, Lord, where we don't know how to pray, you're making intercession on our behalf when it comes to these unspokens. And so, Lord, we just lay them down at your feet. Praise you for your sovereign will. Know that you're in control. And we just love you because You've saved us, and you're for us and not against us. So, Lord, we just praise you tonight. Thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, if you have a copy of God's word, take it and turn to Revelation chapter 14. And I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And we're in chapter 14, beginning in verse 14, and we'll take it through about verse 20. And we'll truck on tonight. It's about, let's see here. Yeah, we'll try. We'll try to make some headway here. Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 14. If you found that this evening, say amen. Amen. All right, the Word of God reads this, those of you with us online. It says, then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had a sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles or 1,600 stadia. We're talking anywhere from 180 to 200 miles. Thank you guys for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've got a forward look here, kind of a future look to the final reaping of the earth is what's going on here in these verses. Now, we asked when we kind of tried to introduce this passage on Wednesday, we asked the question, how did Jesus Christ come the first time to this earth? And we said Jesus' first coming was one of humiliation. He condescended. I used the word this morning, deemed or deigned. He stepped down beneath himself to come and be a part of humanity. But praise God, he did it. And then we said Jesus came the first time as a servant. I shared with the children today one of my most favorite verses in all of the Word of God. That's Mark 10:45. And then we said Jesus came the first time to seek and to save. Amen? To seek and to save, as is described in the parable of the sower. Well, how is Jesus Christ, we asked this question as well on Wednesday night, how is Jesus Christ returning the second time to this earth? Jesus will come in majesty and splendor. He will return as the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus will return as the reaper. So in introducing this passage, we said we need to understand that God's wrath resumes as we are informed by the Apostle John of the final judgment on the earth, which is the theme of chapter 14, verses, 14 through 20? That's the theme of it. Remember, we had a break. We had a break from the wrath in verses 12 through 13, dealing with that wonderful doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Now, the judgment introduced in these verses will take place, as we said Wednesday night, at the worst time in human history. We talked about how it's going to take place at the end of the Great Tribulation, as referred to in Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. For the lost man and for the lost woman, we talked about this on Wednesday night, we said the great cataclysmic day of the Lord. I mean, that sounds like a positive thing. Oh, it's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord is going to be his second advent. And leading up to this cataclysmic day of the Lord is going to be all of these judgments that are about to fall on this earth. So the cataclysmic day of the Lord, judgment is about to fall on Satan. Judgment is about to fall on his demon hordes. Satan is about to fall and crush the Antichrist and all the wicked, unrepentant people of the world. Now, the judgment is depicted in this passage as the final reaping of the earth. And in an unprecedented amount of death, the full fury of the Lord Jesus Christ will be released in devastating judgment. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus repeatedly warned of the coming day of judgment. Matthew is covered up with it. John, it's referred to as well. We'll try to read those verses. I said Wednesday night we'd try to read them tonight for lack of time. We're not going to read those verses, but we're going to carve out some time, perhaps maybe Wednesday, and read these verses in Matthew and in the Gospel of John. We did read the two verses from Paul in Romans 1:18 and chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. The writer of Hebrews wrote about the coming judgment. We didn't cover this, but we'll cover it now. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries." Paul wrote about the coming judgment, or Peter rather, wrote about the coming judgment. Already covered Paul. Peter wrote about the coming judgment in 2 Peter chapter 2, 9, when he says, "Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." 2 Peter 3, 7, he says again, "But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." You know, the whole point of the message this morning, I think part of the point, you know, everything, hindsight, what do they say, is? Yeah, I think part of the point of this morning's message is for us just to kind of sink our teeth into and get a hold of the fact that there is a real hell. And that people that don't know God, that reject the gospel, they're going to end up there. And we have the gospel, man. And we can help them miss that. You know, when you get a handle on hell, what looks so much better? Heaven. I mean, heaven looked good before we got a handle on hell. Don't get me wrong. Heaven looked really good. But once you understand the depravity and the depths and the misery of this place called hell, heaven looks all the more better. Amen? Amen? So, I mean, it really helps us with our doctrine. When we look at the Old Testament speaks of last day's judgment on the world. Isaiah, your pronunciation, you pick. Isaiah is a huge source of information of the coming judgment. We talked about how the Old Testament really speaks more about the second coming than it does the first. And he is complimented by the prophet Joel as this minor prophet, how he writes about the coming judgment as well. Now, our passage this evening pictures the final harvest of divine wrath in two agricultural illustrations. Now, we didn't read from the various, and I mean there are copious passages in Isaiah or Joel. But let me just tell you, from studying Isaiah and Joel, I mean, we would be here for another 10 or 15 minutes just going through the passages in Isaiah and Joel. But let me just tell you, from studying it, what John records from God is an affirmation of what these two earlier Old Testament, one a major, one a minor prophet, of what these two guys prophesied about. In other words, what John records in the grain harvest jives with the rest of the Word of God. Now, they don't contradict each other. They back each other up. Verses 14 through 16, the grain harvest, and the grape harvest, verses 17 through 20, are literally a fulfillment of these two prophets and their messages to their respective peoples. So in the book of Revelation, we've now come, verses 14 through 20, to a future look at the end of the tribulation. And as the tribulation ends, as our passage testifies, there are two main aspects of God's eschatological last day wrath that remains to be poured out on the sinful world. Now, the second aspect, hopefully we'll get to that when we look at it on Wednesday. We'll look at the grape harvest, which is the Battle of Armageddon, at which point Christ returns to judge and destroy his enemies, per Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. We'll look at that part later. The first aspect of God's wrath that remains to be poured out on the world is what the grain harvest represents. If you're taking notes, this is the big thought when it comes to the grain harvest. The grain harvest symbolizes the seven bowl judgments of chapter 16. That is what we talked about Wednesday night. Revelation, man, you got something, it represents this. You look at this, it represents that. It kind of all flows together, and you've got to know how what's the symbol here and what's the symbol there. The seven bowl judgments of chapter 16, verses 1 through 21, are a rapid fire sequence of frightening and deadly worldwide judgments that will destroy the final Babylon. Now, what is Babylon? Babylon is the Antichrist's empire. When he took over the world, first 3.5 years, tribulation's kind of going rocky, but man, you know, we're making it through. And this Antichrist, he's all kind of friendly, but 3.5 years in, he turns, right? He turns. He sets up his image in the temple. And he takes control with an iron fist. And you folks are going to worship me, speaking as paraphrasing what the Antichrist would tell the world. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, you're what? Yeah. So either run for the hills or take the mark. I mean that's the way it's going to be, right? And so these seven bowl judgments are this rapid fire judgment to take down this final Babylon, this Antichrist empire. Now, as we go through the passage, and we've got a few minutes here to do it. The reaper is who? The reaper is none other than Jesus Christ. Look at the Word of God, verse 14. Then I looked and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. The familiar phrase, then I looked and behold. Whenever John writes, then I looked and behold, look out. He's impressed. Look out. He's moved. Look out, he is beyond measure blown away, right? The Apostle John is in awe. He looks and behold. Well, what do you think caught John's attention? What do you think blew him away? What pushed him over the edge for him to say, then I looked and behold? Because he's blown away in Revelation 4:1, and he's blown away in Revelation chapter 6:2, and Revelation 6:5, 6:8. 7:9, he's blown away. 14:1, he's blown. What caught John's attention here? Not the sickle. Good guess, not the sickle. Huh? No. Daniel chapter 7, if you want to turn there, great. If not, I'll read you the passage. Daniel 7, 13 through 14. The apostle Paul, all of these men that Jesus gathered around him to disciple and to make into mighty men of God, all of these guys, when they were kids, they would have studied the law, right? They would have studied the law. And some of them would have gone on, and when I say studied the law, they would have had the law memorized. The first 5 books of the Old Testament. Memorized, right? And many of them would have gone on and studied the major prophets and the minor prophets. And some of them would have even delved off into the wisdom literature and the history books and everything else. So what he is looking and beholding is out of Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Listen to the passage. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Over and over again, the apostle, knowing what he knows about the Old Testament, is faced with the visions and the truth of what's happening in the New Testament, and he's blown away because it's all connected. It all stands together. There's no contradiction. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Word of God. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the Savior. John saw sitting on the cloud one like a Son of Man who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The reaper is Jesus coming to establish His kingdom in fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. The brilliant white cloud symbolizes His glory and symbolizes His majesty. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 and Matthew 17, 5, and Matthew 24, 30, and Matthew 26, 64, and Acts chapter 1, verse 9. He's ready to take, Jesus Christ is. He's ready to take the dominion of which Daniel prophesied. The reaper is sitting as he waits for the proper time to stand and begin the reaping. With me so far? And so what is the reaping? The reaping, again, I'll tell you, because you got to hear it a few times to get it. The reaping are the seven, is the seven. The reaping is the seven bowl judgments. And so after the completion of these seven bowl judgments, Christ returns to establish His kingdom. Now, the biblical history and usage of the Son of Man is interesting. You don't want to miss it. It's a good point to jump off in that and make sure we cross all of our T's and dot all of our I's when it comes to Son of Man. The description of Christ as one like a Son of Man comes from where? We just read it. Daniel's prophecy, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. But Son of Man, listen to me, was the Lord's favorite title for Himself during His incarnation, during His first advent. No less than 16 times does our Savior refer to Himself as the Son of Man. Four times in each gospel. Four times in Matthew, four times in Mark, four times in Luke, four times in John. He's always calling Himself the Son of Man. The Apostle Paul plays off of that theme, uses the Son of Man in that great Christological passage we've already read, but I'll read it again because it's so beautiful, Philippians 2, 7 through 8. But emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, right? Being found in appearance as a man, right? He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So here in Revelation 14, this is the last time Scripture refers to Jesus by that title, Son of Man. And what is interesting to note is that this instance in 14:14 and the first instance in which Jesus is called the Son of Man, we find that there is a huge contrast between the first time and the last time. The first time in Matthew 8:20, Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes." You know this passage? "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests," right? "But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." In our current passage, we see things come full circle, my friend. Jesus is about to possess the entire earth to which He has the deed and the title to. He's about to possess it all. So the reaper is further described. Who's the reaper? The reaper is further described as having what on his head? He's got a golden crown on his head. But when we look at the Greek, the crown is not a diadema in the Greek. In the Greek, that's what a king would wear. Jesus is a king, but the crown that's referred to in the Greek New Testament here in this passage is the stephanos, all right? Worn by victors in war or athletic events. So the reaper is pictured as the Son of Man, and the emphasis is not on His identity as the sovereign ruler, which Jesus is, but rather here Jesus is pictured as the triumphant conqueror, victorious over all His enemies. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 says, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So who's the reaper? What does the reaper possess? Now we come to that sickle that Brother John mentioned earlier, right? Somebody describe to me what a sickle is. Anybody? Yeah? Okay, yeah. So is it sharp? Yeah, it's sharp. Very sharp. Cut wheat down with it, weeds down with it. You can cut all kinds of stuff down with it, right? You don't, yeah, yeah. You don't want to be in its way when it's being swung, right? A sharp sickle in his hand. The picture is of the Lord Jesus Christ mowing down his enemies like a harvester cutting grain. Now, what is the ripe harvest? The ripe harvest is the lost and unrepentant. The lost and unrepentant. Look at verse 15 with me. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe." Now, this is the fourth angel mentioned in this chapter. The fourth angel mentioned in this chapter, okay? The others are mentioned in verse 6, verse 8, and verse 9. The first three angels proclaimed that judgment was coming. The fourth angel, he brings the command to execute the judgment. From out of the heavenly temple, from before the throne of God, this angel delivers the message from God the Father to the Son of Man that the time has come for him to move in judgment. Now, what you got to remember is that as we've gone through the book of Revelation, what has God done? How has he acted toward lost humanity? Has he thrown some grace in there? Oh, yeah. Has he put some gospel preaching in the midst of all that? Oh, yeah. Has he given them opportunity to repent? Oh, yeah. Over and over. As time draws down to a close, as the church age comes closer and closer to the end, there's two witnesses. There's 144,000 prophets, right? There's people that are getting saved that are spreading the word. I mean, it's going everywhere. Not a whole lot of people are getting saved, though. Some are, but the majority of people are not. Remember that through this revelation, God has responded to disobedience. God has responded to rebellion. God has responded to devil worship. God has responded. He's responded in grace as well as judgment. He's responded in grace to those that have rejected his gospel. Now we come to this point of the end of the tribulation. And God's anger has reached the what? It's reached the limit. He's reached the limit. And his wrath is thus poured out. So the time for grace is over, and there will be no more delaying the harvest of judgment. Guess who judges? Everybody thinks God judges. Jesus judges. Jesus is the one that judges. The Son can now exercise the right to judge that the Father has delegated to him because the earth is ripe for judgment. John 5:22 says, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son." John 5:27 says, "And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." Acts 10:42 says, "And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead." Acts 17:31 says, "Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Who's the judge? Jesus is the judge. He's the judge. Now, what you need to understand is that the Greek word for ripe, let me see if I can say it. Ooh, it's been a long time. Yeah, I can say that. Exar It's a tough Greek word. But anyway, it means ripe. But what it really means is dried up. What it really means is withered. What it really means is overripe. What it really means is rotten, right? It's rotten. It's time to go, right? The grain or lost inhabitants of the earth that the grain represents here in the harvest have passed the point of any usefulness. Are these folks going to repent? Well, they've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent. They have passed the point of any usefulness, and thus they are fit only to be sent into eternity through the judgment of the bowl judgments of chapter 16 as the final reaping has begun. Now, the act of reaping is the executions of divine judgment. All right, verse 16. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. So this act of reaping is the executions of the seven bowl judgments of Revelation chapter 16, right? So the frightening details of that judgment are unfolded in that chapter that we'll get to in chapter 16, but I'll just give you the bullet points. Number one, you've got loathsome and malignant sores on the worshipers of the Antichrist. That's a verse 2 of chapter 16. Number two, the second bowl, you've got the death of all life in the world's oceans. That's going to be a mess. That's verse 3 of chapter 16. There's going to be a lot of people die from that. Number three, the third bowl judgment. You've got the turning of the world's rivers and springs of water into blood. That's verse 4, all right? Then you sashay on down through chapter 16, and you've got the intensifying of the sun's heat until it scorches people. They talk about global warming today. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue of what's coming, right? Don't have a clue. And it's not going to be greenhouse gases. It's going to be the Lord turning up the thermostat. The intensifying of the sun's heat until it scorches people, verse 8. Then you're going to have painful darkness over all of Antichrist's kingdom, verse 10. And then you got the setup. You got the setup here for the Battle of Armageddon, which gets us to the grape harvest. That's the drying up of the Euphrates River in preparation for a massive invasion by the kings of the east. That's verse 12. And then you've got the last one here is the most powerful and destructive earthquake in history, verse 18, right? And the earth has seen some of this before, right? You had the flood, right? Right? You had the flood and the earth was covered with water, right? And God said he would never do that again, right? He's going to cleanse it this time with fire, right? He's going to cleanse it this time with fire. He cleansed it the first time with water. He's going to cleanse it the second time with fire, right? Most powerful and destructive earthquake in history. Those seven rapid-fire bowl judgments mark the first phase of the final reaping of the earth. You got it? Amen. Any questions? No? Amen? No questions? All right, well, we got it in. Brother Jeremiah, you got any questions back there from anybody? Okay. All right, well, folks, we're going to have a word of prayer. Thank you for coming tonight. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord, you're on the side of right and heaven bound. And this seven bowl judgments thing for you will be an observation from a distance. You won't be in the midst of that in the throne room of heaven. Amen? Now, the beauty of it is, will we see as the church, the redeemed church, will we see the angels leave the temple, the holy temple? Possibly. Probably. You bet. Amen? The dead in Christ, the raptured church, where are we during all this time? Throne room of heaven. Amen? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your peace. Lord, for your tender care of us. Lord, please help us live in such a way help us live our theology, God. We believe in a place called hell. We believe what this Bible says about the coming judgment. Lord, help us live that theology. Help us see people that are lost in desperate, dire need of salvation. Lord, risking relationship, risking a friend, may we risk it all for their opportunity to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, there will be some that tell us no. There will be some that will mock us. Some that will make fun of us. Some that will speak poorly behind our back because they think we're some kind of religious nut or Jesus freak. But Lord, there will be some that receive the message. There will be some that will become so close to us because we shared with them the bread of life. And they tasted salvation. And they tasted of Christ. And they experienced for themselves. And their whole families will end up getting saved. Their whole families will end up going into the kingdom of heaven. So Lord, it just takes one Christian sharing with a lost person the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, may we not play around with it, water it down, debate. May we just stick to the point. Jesus came to die for the sins of humanity. And we were all once sinners in need of a Savior. So may we just keep it simple and to the point. Folks that are lost are sinners in need of a Savior. And we know the Savior. We can lead them to the foot of the cross and show them in the Bible what it means to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You know you got the Romans road, right? Amen. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13. It's all right there. The Romans road, don't forget it. Brother Paul, you got a question?